Hello, space junkies, and welcome to What a Piece of Junk, a Star Wars podcast here on the Fandom Podcast Network. I'm Scott Baltman, even though if you're a regular listener to this show, you probably wouldn't believe that it was me. I'm recovering from a rip-roaring good time at Dragon Con in beautiful Atlanta, Georgia this Labor Day weekend, where I left it all on the field to win Star Trek Masters Card Game Tournament. And one of the things I left was my voice after yelling over the din of the roar of a 500 billion of my closest friends hanging out at the con. So I'm going to be mostly hiding behind this microphone and this giant Sasquatch mug of green tea while my original podcast co-pilot, Mr. Derek Marsh, handles most of the MC duties. But don't worry, I'm still going to be pushing the buttons and flying the drunken Gungan, because he's probably going to crash us into some weird hypergate thing. What's up, Derek?
Great. I'm sorry, Scott, that, first, congrats at least. So, you know, with every victory comes some type of, you know, lessons, and sometimes there's a battle wound and whatnot. So obviously left your voice there, but congratulations on the win. Hopefully Thank it was you. Either some really good Romulan ale or wonderful Klingon blood wine, either way for celebration. But let's talk a little Star Wars, and we can't do that without Scott's original co-pilot, the one, the only, and all the other fun nicknames that he can do. But let's leave that off for this time. Nathan Miracle. Nathan, how's it going today, sir?
It's going really well. I am recovering from a fun day at Dragon Con. You'll notice my voice is nice and strong because I didn't leave it all on the field. I went 1-2 in the same tournament that Scott won, losing to Scott and a new player to whom I lent a deck. Just let him have the deck, and he beat me with it, and beat me straight up too. It wasn't one of these, oh, I'm gonna take it so easy on him so that he can win and feel good. No, he took my own deck and just smashed me over the head with it.
Yeah, called a card shark.
Yeah,
it was brutal. But I enjoyed watching.
To be fair, it was a close game. He won after time was called, and Scott's game with me was really close too. It was down to the last turn, but yeah, I didn't do quite as well, and I also didn't try to yell over as many people. So I do still have my voice. I'll still be talking. And it's not just going to be us three today. We've got one more person to introduce.
Get me off the ship. I don't want to. I didn't ask for this.
Look, the return of the Sugi.
We promised after several times we would take you back to wherever we found you.
No, not there either. Put me somewhere cool. Like that. Put them in that place behind me.
I said the Death Star, too, somewhere.
I hear they have good food.
They do have an excellent cantina. Just watch out. I hear Darth Vader kills people with trays.
That's okay. I can live with that.
Well, we're not here to talk about Death Star 2. We're here to talk about Ahsoka 3. That is to say, Episode 3 of the Ahsoka series. Derek, why don't you give us the modified tale of the tape there, as you can dig up some stats per, you know, something along the lines of what's the official title, which, by the way, you guys, I do like that Disney is not telling us the titles until after the premiere date of the episode. So now we know what the title was, but when we're looking ahead on the schedule, it just says Chapter 3 or Episode 3.
Yeah. Well, the chapter or the episode is going to be Time to Fly, which obviously if those that have watched it, hopefully you have. Otherwise, again, while you're listening to us, you should go ahead and, you know, stop, watch the episode and come back. This one isn't as fun as when we had like last week where we did the episode 1 and 2 watch along, which we appreciate the commentary. And hopefully that was a lot of fun for folks to listen to us banter on about Star Wars stuff and just other things in general. So, you know, make sure you go back and download that or watch us on the YouTube channel, either way. But this episode, which was really short, though I do appreciate, even though, you know, we're getting it Tuesday nights now at 9 o'clock Eastern time. Sugi, you're on the West Coast, right? So you get it.
No, I'm mid. So I'm okay. Central.
Central. Okay.
I'll say he's mid.
Wow.
Yeah, I thought you weren't saying Captain anything, Frog. Scott.
He just wants to get those zingers in, I guess.
Man, he can't say more than two words, but he can insult me. Thanks a lot. Yeah, you sip from that mug, Mr. Sasquatch man. Yeah, that's right. Keep sipping. Oh, come on, drink of my people. The green tea with honey. Yeah,
I have a limited number of syllables. I have to use them wisely.
Yeah, use them at me. That's right. There you go. Keep sucking on that.
Sentences need to be short than seven words. Otherwise, he'll start coughing. So, but no, this is great. It was fun to watch it. But, you know, so yeah, we'll be looking forward to it. Now, recording this on Sunday night. We don't have as much time to turn it around, but hopefully you guys will be able to listen to this before you get to episode 4, which will be coming out again this upcoming Tuesday. But anyways, let's get back to our original format, guys. The standard, you know, what did we like, what didn't we like, and all the fun stuff. But, you know, we'll kind of kick it off, get Sugi a little warmed up here. So I'll get Nathan the first question. What was your favorite part of the episode, Nathan?
All right. Well, I enjoyed this entire episode. It was great to see the space battle, great to see the Purrgil, all of that. But my favorite part of the episode happened the second time I watched the episode on Wednesday night. I watched it with my girlfriend, Andrea. And when the title came up, she asked, "Hey, that O in Ahsoka, it's different than the rest of the letters in Ahsoka. Is there some reason for that?" And at first I said, "No, I think it's just a style of, oh my gosh, I just realized what it is. And I'm not going to tell you because we're going to see it in this episode. The O in the Ahsoka is the Eye of Sion, the big hyperspace ring that they're making." So figuring that out, not hearing it from any YouTubers or commentators or anything, even though you just did, listeners, it's okay because you heard it from us.
Cruel irony.
It was cool to figure that out and go, oh my gosh, this is something that you wouldn't know without watching the show, but giving it a couple of rewatches, like, wait a minute, no, I do know what that is. So that was a really cool moment in the moment of watching it.
Very nice. So, Sugi, what was your favorite part of this episode?
David Tennant as Hu Yang, by far. He's it's the ninth Doctor as a Jedi robot being sassy, and I love him. He's a cool, I wouldn't say a set piece. He's a cool character that kind of helps the pacing along. Not necessarily like a primary character, but he adds a lot of flavor to any scene he's in. Because everything's a little kind of bland right now, just a teeny bit. But he helps keep things spicy, and I like the way they utilize his character a lot.
All right. Sugi, are you a wrestling fan or no?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I was just going to say, if you had a three-way death match between C-3PO, K2SO, or Dr. Huang, as we like to call him here, who do you think would be victorious in the sassy Sasquatch of a death match?
K2.
Yeah, I have to agree with that. Yeah.
Well, because K2 would shoot everybody. Hu Yang would complain about being shot.
Yeah.
And C-3PO would try and document the shooting.
I mean, my favorite part, and it's kind of, you know, perfect segue. I don't know, you know, Hu Wang's pretty good with the lightsaber, you know, dodging. He might be decent enough to block those bolts. Just saying. So, I feel
like he would feel incontinent using an actual lightsaber because he's using training lightsabers.
Yeah.
If you gave him a real lightsaber, he'd be like, I have not been trained in using these. And it's like, well, mechanically, that is not true, but in your programming, that is true. He would argue
he is
about using
very much
the
about
weapon.
The programming.
But, yeah, but yeah. He would argue about using the weapon while K2 is just blasting him.
According to him traditional Jedi code,
K2 might
I'm
just
not
take the lightsaber and cut him with it. He would like shank Hu Yang, complaining about the weapon he just got shanked with, and be like,
"Did you know, Sugi, though, that Alan Tudyk does make a cameo in Ahsoka?"
I've heard this, but I know this joke is getting set up pretty well.
Well, him and Andy Serkis are definitely playing the Loth Cat. That's what we came to conclusion last episode. So, you know, just wanted to throw it out there. That's still, you know, where we're
which
thinking
half
that game
is.
Totally
uncredited.
They rotate between each scene.
Yeah.
This explains a lot.
So, Scott, you can just nod your head if you had a favorite part of your episode or not. You don't have to answer. Did you have a favorite part or yes or no?
I do actually have an answer, and I'm, again, conserving syllables. I mean, not while I'm explaining this, but
anyway, sign language. Don't
you... The new like Spitfire-looking World War II fighter-inspired starships that were fighting Ahsoka and Sabine in the T6. Those things are cool, and I like how Hotties is like almost an homage to General Grievous's ship with the big honking things in the front.
I love the Spitfire sound effect on those as they're firing the guns, mm-hmm. too.
Yeah, and now the name's escaping me. I wasn't quick enough to type it up, but I figured it was another George Lucas homage, because didn't they do the Lucasfilm, the graphics for the dogfighting one? I can't remember the name of the movie now.
I got it. Red Tails.
Red Tails, that's what it was, yeah.
Yeah.
So, there you go. Always an homage in the previous shows. Yeah. You know, they like to do that, and that's cool. It's a little hidden stuff. So, as I alluded to earlier, my favorite part of the episode was just that scene with Hu Wang and Sabine just practicing there, and he's going through the different techniques. And obviously, he's being a bit choppy because she's not super fluid yet. But it's almost kind of like if any of you guys like Donnie Yen, who's obviously a Star Wars alum, and we got Ip Man, and when he's doing all those scenes with the wood blocks, you know. And the training dummy, and it's just really cool. Really appreciate that, and it really shows you what, you know, we don't get necessarily in the, you know, Clone Wars or in the prequels, when you get to see how else are they taking Jedi up for lightsaber training beyond just with the, you know, blast shield or whatever they're wearing, or their visor, and training with the remotes versus then actually hand-to-hand combat with the lightsabers that you usually see a Padawan in their master training. So I thought this is kind of a nice segue to link it. So, all right, I'll jump off with question number two. What was your least favorite? My least favorite part of this wasn't necessarily the fact that Ahsoka came out on the starship and was jumping around and deflecting laser bolts from the starfighter pilots. I was okay with that. My part was how stupid they were for shooting at her instead of just shooting at the ship and blowing that up. And there goes Ahsoka. Woo! Because, you know, she can only survive so long in space. So that was mine. Again, you know, it's one of those little nitpick things. I know it's sci-fi fantasy, but it was just like, how dumb can you be? Plus, the fact is, I thought the laser bolts from like starships, again, maybe they're just, you know, cheaper fighters, but I would assume that the laser bolt would be larger than a normal laser bolt from a little blaster pistol, right? So the fact that, you know, she's not swinging at giant laser bolts, you know, and where it just consumes her, even though she might deflect it, it still, you know, takes her out just like they would do in Dragon Ball Z. Come on. You know, Suki might get that one, but anyways, that was my least favorite. So, we'll go down to, we'll go Scott last. So Sugi, what was your least favorite part of this episode?
My least favorite part of Ahsoka was Ahsoka. She was, kind of a jerk. I don't know what the director is doing with her character. Cause like in the prior episode, she's trying to like make amends with Sabine. And then here she's trying to like teach her by kicking her butt. And then when they're on the verge of dying, she's like, hey, maybe I should like work with her so she can like, you know, shoot these ships. And I know there's a little bit of arguing on the internet about Ahsoka's character, because it's very different than what we're used to from the prior source material. So, normally it's hard to blame the actor because they're being told what to do and they're just doing it. So I can't really get mad at Rosario. I can get mad at the director and the writers for who knows. I don't know what they're doing. I really don't. Cause it's not logical and it's not fluid. Like, I understand they're trying to make her more of a robust and like jaded, mature, stoic kind of character, but she just kind of feels like limp mud. Like every time she's in a scene, it's like, I don't care. I really don't care what Ahsoka does or says, because it's so
just after Thrawn.
It's uninteresting. Well, but that's not even like a driving force at this point. She's just kind of like, I'm in this scene because I was told to be in this scene. Yeah, it just feels like she's in a like. At least Sabine feels like she's supposed to be there because she's on a journey. Ahsoka feels like she's there because her name is on the title, and that really frustrates me because everything is happening and she just kind of exists, and it's not pleasant. Like, it's really not, and it's awkward because, like, the villains are somewhat interesting, and Sabine is interesting, and Hu Yang is interesting, and the stuff going on with the Senate, all these other, every part minus the title character is somewhat interesting. And I feel like that's not how a show should be.
Yeah, they're kind of hitting the mark on, or missing the mark on this, if you think about it, right? Because we got that with the Book of Boba. Mm-hmm. We even got that with Chapter 3 of The Mandalorian, because it felt like more of the, you know, Book of Bo-Katan than that. So it is definitely a repeatable theme that feels like it. I will say this, though. You have to remember, she was trained by Anakin, though. Like, she was, like, you know, just measured up with clones, and they just shot her with stun guns until she finally got better. So I kind of get what you're saying, but at the same time, I kind of go back and look at like how she was trained, and I'm like, to be fair, that might all she knows how to do is just be, you know, just mean.
She doesn't know how to be a master.
I agree with Nathan. It's more of her being inadequate as a teacher. But the problem is her character in the past is very compassionate and very kind. She was the balance to Anakin. Anakin was the jerk. He was rigid. He was jaded. He was very firm. And all throughout the Clone Wars, she helped balance him out with kindness, compassion, understanding, open-mindedness. And that helped him grow as a character. And now in Ahsoka, the worst part is she's not even that. She is just two-dimensional flat. Mm-hmm. And yeah, that's the problem I'm having is I can't even complain that she's being bad as a character. She's just not a character.
She's existing.
Like, she's like this picture behind me. This picture has more interesting things going on than Ahsoka. I'm really not trying to be mean about it, but it's just like she's just so two-dimensional. And it's unfortunately, it really falls to the director and the writers making her that way. Because there's no other real answer there, because I'm sure Rosario would want to be a little bit more animated, a little bit more interactive, a little bit more felt in a scene. But she's just not right now. She's really, really flat.
So do you think she's just still super jaded from the way she left?
I think there's character identity crisis, kind of like we saw a little bit in Book of Boba Fett. Because when we first saw Boba, he also suffered from, I'm Boba Fett, we know. And I'm going to do a thing, we know. Let's evolve a little bit here. Like, so, you know, you have these, you have talking head characters who are projecting the narrative. And it's even worse because she's not even doing that. She's just kind of standing in the narrative while things move around her. So I feel like we should see some maturity evolution in her character, hopefully, because they kind of showed that moment where she stopped being a stagnant turd and she kind of gave up the ego trip. So I'm hoping that leads to more of an evolution in the character. And maybe that's what they wanted up front. Maybe they wanted her to seem jaded and bitter and angry and frustrated. So we'll see. We don't have the final picture, so I'm willing to give it a chance. But like for right now, she's just kind of boring as crap. Is the most family-friendly way I can say that.
We went around and said what our favorite part of the episode is. None of us said Ahsoka.
No.
and like I said, her name is the title of the show. You would think that should be our favorite part. And looking at the custom questions that we have for this episode, we're not asking about Ahsoka either. So, yeah, I think you're on a really good point there.
I will say this episode is a little bit unfair because she has the least amount of screen time. amongst all the other things.
I was just going to say that. They're really trying to set up everything and get everybody caught up, right? Yeah. Because, again, not everybody's Star Wars nerds like the rest of us. And we, you know, people don't want to watch cartoons because, it's a cartoon. But yet, that's a problem. Then you're stuck with, at this point, you know, an hour and a half plus of basically, you know, I mean, because really episode one and two was really just how we got to the end of Rebels.
Fan service.
So, get me wrong. It was good stuff, right? I thought we thoroughly enjoyed it, right? Especially, like, to your point, though, the other characters, right? It really was, you know, to the point where it's like, maybe this is where they need to change how they're titling these things. Maybe instead of calling it, you know, Ahsoka, the Book of Boba Fett, the Mandalorian, right? Andor, let's title it like, you know, the Andor. Rise of the First Order, whatever you want to call it, right? Let's call that or something, right? Or the, you know, how they, you know, the Return of Thrawn or something, right? You know, I don't know, whatever they want to call it. You know, something like that.
Name it after
Ezra's
what's happening.
Really terrible, awful, character. Bad day adventure.
Yeah.
I just think that it's a disservice to Rosario playing a really beloved character and a lot of hype for a show that just can't stick the landing. And I hate that crap. I would have rather them named it something more like neutral, you know, like, you know, the Outer Rim Exploration, something.
Rebels season 5.
Yeah, something. Cause it's when you hear Ahsoka, you are like hell bent that this character is going to be the dominating force of the adventure you're going to watch.
First and 5 minutes.
She is the least dominating force of the, like, I really, and I'm not trying to be funny again, but like Hu Yang was like my favorite thing. He was interesting and sassy, and he developed Sabine's character, and we've established a storyline of, you know, Sabine isn't properly trained and she hasn't been practicing, and Hu Yang being the know-it-all is proving it with homework. Like, you're not good, but you're not bad, but you're probably not good. Like, he's setting pieces on the checklist that we can go back to and understand where we are in this time and where we are in the space, where we are with the character. And then Rosario's like, put on this helmet, I'm gonna beat you. Cool. Good job. I
will say this though, I agree with you. It goes back to the writing though, right? So obviously they're giving great lines and great chemistry dialogue between those characters, right? To your point, doesn't feel like they're giving a whole lot with Ahsoka. But on top of that though, I will say though, this Ahsoka's actually like been the one character with probably the most screen time in all of Star Wars at this point, right? So I'm okay if they give other characters around her that time, that frame, but to what we were just saying, right? Just don't call it Ahsoka then. Yeah. Right, it would make more sense, like have her in there, have it, you know, what they're doing with this Star Wars, you know, post Empire verse, plenty fine. But anyways, but let's go to Nathan. What was your least favorite?
All right, mine's going to be an interesting mirror of yours, Derek, because I don't mind the fact that the bad guys were shooting at Ahsoka because they're driven by rage. They are dark side. They don't always do the things that necessarily make the most sense. So yes, okay, we see the person that we want to go after, we're going to shoot at her, even though it would make more sense to shoot the ship that would accomplish,
blow out the tires, goal. Right, you know?
Yeah, but you know, we're not thinking that far ahead. We just see our target and we're like, we're going after that. So I don't really have a problem with that. But the deflecting of the bolts and the fighting the ships with the lightsaber, that part I didn't like as much. I feel like it's weird when you have a person fighting a spaceship. It just doesn't quite match. It reminded me of in episode 9 when Rey jumped over Kylo Ren's TIE fighter and cut off a wing. And like, they had to put Rey behind the wing during that because they had to hide the fact that a lightsaber is nowhere near long enough to cut an entire wing of a TIE fighter off. So they just hid that part and like, yeah, sure, she cut the whole thing off. Well, same thing happened here. Ahsoka cut an entire ship in half. I'm like, no, your lightsaber is not long enough to do that. You might cut a gash into the side, but you don't bisect a starfighter with a lightsaber. So
Star Wars physics.
Yes. We can have the Force or we can have physics. We cannot have both. And this time we definitely chose Force. The physics makes no gosh darn sense.
Bloody said.
Oh, Don Phonics.
Scott, do you want to skip this one or are you good to mention your least favorite?
I got one least favorite. And again, just Pergil. I didn't like the Pergil usage in this episode. It felt less of an homage and more derivative of the way we've seen Pergil. Yeah, and like the whole flying around the tentacles and having a big fight. I swear I have seen an episode of the Clone Wars where Anakin does this with some clone trooper pilots of the the Y-Wings. And
yeah, it's because they're going to go through that nebula to make a shortcut. Yeah.
And it was almost like I was watching a live action recorded over that animation. And like, I get that they wanted to do an homage and a live action Pergil reveal. That was kind of cool. But this exact moment of starfightering through their tails and stuff, I'm like, I've absolutely seen this before. And, you know, it's too derivative.
This is the fascinating thing about Star Wars, because everyone has their loves and fandom. I actually loved that scene because it brought me back to Clone Wars. And the exact reason you didn't like it was the exact reason I liked it. So I think that's really cool. Funny.
This is why we can never get along.
It's funny. Yeah, that's right. That's why we play Star Trek card games. We can fight over that.
It's funny.
You guys need to teach me how to play so I can talk smack because I don't know anything about that
card. Oh, yeah, we can totally do that.
Scott's like, there's hand control. I was like, whoa, take my money.
It's funny that you two were reminded of the Clone Wars. And I'm the big Clone Wars guy here. And it didn't remind me of the Clone Wars at all. It reminded me of The Empire Strikes Back when they were flying through the asteroids. They it wasn't with the Pergil itself, but earlier in the episode, they even had the line, "Closer, you want us to get closer?"
Yeah.
It
just felt like a cool homage to a lot of classic Star Wars, which I'm totally fine with. That's what made these series possible. So using some of that is kind of fun. I do see what you're saying, Scott, but I just had like a flashback. I was like, we're back. It's happening. Oh my gosh.
The only bad part is that it wasn't classic where one of the bad guy ships got hit by the Pergil's tail and then went spinning off and crashed.
That was the only thing we were missing the whole time.
Yeah, I was like, nobody died. I'm disappointed. All the red shirts made it out. Come on.
Yeah.
All right, guys. So, well, speaking of Pergil and connections to Clone Wars, Sugi, what connections could you draw to the larger Star Wars galaxy in any of this point? What was one of the things?
From this episode?
Yes.
There's actually a lot to pull from here. Surprisingly, this is a very, very meaty episode in terms of Star Wars adjacent doodaddery. Again, I'm going to go back to Hu Yang. I really love his character because the more I watch Star Wars, the less I like the Jedi because they are.
Welcome to the club.
There's a lot of things. There's a lot of pros. There's a lot of cons. And seeing Hu Yang in a program state that believes all of the propaganda of the Jedi is fascinating because he doesn't know any better. So when he says things and he does things, it's incredibly fascinating because he has more knowledge than anyone else living in the galaxy about anything Jedi, but he is probably the most naive person on that ship.
Like most Jedi.
But it's interesting because I can't tell if it's a juxtaposition or a statement on the Jedi. And I suspect that might be left up to the viewer to interpret. But Hu Yang is a fascinating extension because you can see a lot of characters in him. You can see Yoda, you can see Mace Windu, you can see Obi-Wan. Interestingly enough, you don't see much Qui-Gon. You can even see Luke and Anakin in the things he does. So he has a lot of interesting pieces that he does and does not represent, and that is being passed along to Sabine as well as Ahsoka, because they're vicariously absorbing these personalities through, you know, interactions and trainings and all kinds of stuff. So it's kind of fun because he'll say and do things. I'm like, that is a Yodaism, or that is a Mace Winduism, or that is absolutely something Obi-Wan would have done. And it's like, ah, oh, that's really cool. He kind of represents a lot of things that we love and enjoy in different scenes and sequences.
All right. Good.
It's very subtle.
Nathan, what was your connection?
Well, I just want to piggyback on that for a moment. And I'm speculating for going forward. I wonder if Yuang meets up with Luke at some point, because Luke, by The Last Jedi, clearly knows way more about the Jedi than he did in Return of the Jedi. The name Darth Sidious was not mentioned in the original trilogy. For that matter, the name Palpatine wasn't mentioned in the original trilogy. That came from...
My name's Sheev. No.
No. No. Also Palpatine. Not mentioned. Just the Emperor. That was the only thing he was called.
Yeah.
So clearly Luke has learned more, and he learned how the Jedi fell. And this could be where he learned that from Huang. And that could be why he tried to bring the Jedi more towards what they had been, which was kind of the downfall of his own teachings. He needed to go with what he had learned before, not with what the Jedi had been before that. But that's
he could have learned a lot from Mon Mothma when it comes to the Senate. Because let's be honest, she's been around a long time. Oh,
that's another topic to talk. Mm-hmm. I think my favorite thing though is, interestingly enough, not to bring up Mon Mothma, we're seeing characters be our bridge as audience into universe. So like Hu Yang is the character that bridges us into the Jedi and the Force.
In the Clone Wars animated saga.
The Clone Wars animated. And then we've got Mon Mothma, who is the bridge to the rebellion and the rebuilding. And then ironically, we have Hera as the bridge for all the people, all the survivors, and the people who got hurt and left behind and disrespected the most.
She's a Twi'lek. She knows what it's like.
Yeah, and it's just like, man, I'll give them this. They've got really strong bridges between viewer and character, like what's the word? The things you like, the feels, the things you link with, the things that you associate with. They've really nailed that really well, and I appreciate that a lot.
Yeah, I feel like Ezra is a pretty good bridger as well.
Ba-bum-bum.
All right, well, I'm out of here. I quit.
Anyway,
quit.
But my actual link
out,
to
Scott, I want to go home.
My hit the ejection
links to the larger
put me galaxy. In the airlock. I want to die.
We are going to talk about Senator Giono a little bit later, so I'm going to skip that. I'm going to talk about Sabine's training with the helmet. And of course, we saw that first in A New Hope with Luke. It's one of the first things he learns is how to block blaster bolts without being able to see the remote. And we get a word for word. I can't see how am I supposed to fight. And that was cool. But we finally have a word for it. It is the Zatoichi training, which doesn't come from Star Wars. It actually comes from samurai tradition. And it is from a blind samurai. So I love the fact that they brought in the samurai origins, because that was a big inspiration for George Lucas. And also, like, literally, this character was blind in the samurai stories. So it makes sense that this is where we use it. You're learning how to fight blind. Although I did think it was weird that Sabine was so insistent on I should be able to see, considering she knew a Jedi who was blind and could fight. Like, you have firsthand experience of why this could be really important.
He was the one training her when he was blind.
Yes. So that part felt a little weird, but I loved seeing that they did that training and giving it a name, and such an appropriate name.
If the big reveal of Morik, whoever it is, right, ends up being cameoed by B. Takashi, then we're good. That's all I care about. So, all right. So, Scott, did you want to have any connections, or you want to skip this one?
No, I got one real quick. Sabine in the tail gun. Blam, blam. I got one. Mm-hmm. I loved it.
Yep.
Now that's how you do an homage. Like Nathan was talking about with the blast shield down. How can I see anything? Right. That's an homage. I got one. Good homage. Per guild thing. Too much. Past homage for me.
I was almost expecting Ahsoka to yell back, "Great kid, don't get cocky," but yeah, that would have been too much.
Yes. That would have been across the line. Yeah.
Now she's quoting Harrison Ford. She's crossed.
I don't know. She was being pretty snarky.
That's true.
She was. And pretty grumpy.
So. Yeah, there was a Muppet-sized stick up her butt.
I just appreciate the gun council that she was shooting from. It was old, you know, old school. Just looked just like the Millennium Falcon. And I loved how she's like, somebody's been messing with my settings.
Yeah, that was fun.
Like it was a cheat code on a video game. You know, you get your own controller and somebody's messed with it. So, no, exactly. You guys hit it all in the way. I mean, my big one, you know, I tied in with the Mon Mothma. That entire, you know, Star Wars galaxy at its finest at the whole encompass, right? Because Mon Mothma has been there since the beginning. She's been every part. You know, the only thing we don't get her eventually is in the sequel trilogies, just because, you know, spoiler alert, she doesn't make it. So.
What? No, wait a minute. She and was now you're going to tell me not that
Vader
Prime.
Is Luke's father? That's, come on. Bogus. So, not even possible.
There's a lot of good stuff in this episode. And that's where it really felt like this one was. Some people have called it a filler episode, but I don't think it was. I really think it was a good character. But there was just a lot of wink, wink, nudge, nudge to the, you know, audience, especially, again, not us non-normal Star Wars fans that watch everything, for the one that just watches the occasional live action stuff. Where it felt like this one probably would have been just fine just to combine with episodes 1 and 2 if they go to premiere it on the big screen or a big network like they've kind of done with some of the other Star Wars stuff at this point. So, you know, we'll see. But definitely a lot of good stuff there. So, all right. So let's get to questions, specific ones. So, Nathan, if you want to take us into what your question number 4 was and be a little bit more explicit if you don't mind. So you give me and I know exactly what you're talking about.
Years, man.
So we've got a few major bad guys. We of course have Morgan Elsbeth. We've got the Wolf Trio, as I want to call them, with Merrick and Balin and Shin. Hati.
Yeah. Great band. I love their synthwave stuff.
So those are the main bad guy characters so far, but they've got a bunch of followers and they're all wearing masks and whatnot. And who the heck are they? Like, who are they getting to follow them on this quest? They don't seem to be regular Imperials. They're not stormtroopers or anything like that. Do we have any idea who or what they are?
They're Dathomir sisters, cultists.
Okay.
I have bad news. I don't care.
Okay. Scott, you also don't care?
No. I got my shot in the dark is a crime family that somehow previously worked with Morgan Elsbeth under the table when Elsbeth was like in charge of building the Star Destroyers and stuff because, you know, she had the monies. And so they're like a crime family that was somehow interconnected with her back then. And now she's all like, I got a new plan to make you all rich. And they're like, rock on. We like being rich.
So maybe they're pirates that she hired away from Talon Card?
Maybe. If not Talon Card, nice. If not pirates, at the very least, criminals of some ilk.
All right. So my first thought was the Dathomirian sisters, but then they didn't seem to be using the Force at all. So that's why I thought they might not be that. Ultimately, I think Sugi might be right. we may not care. The story may not care.
Yeah, they feel like the classic like pawn. You gotta have someone die. So here are these nameless, faceless. Like if they didn't have masks, I care a little bit more. But it's like, oh, a nameless, faceless thing just blew up. Okay, that's cool.
Yeah, which one was it? Who knows? Who cares?
I don't know.
It's Minion 1?
It was that one. That one just blew up. Oh, my God. That not that one. I like that guy.
Not Kevin.
No! Timmy! Stop!
It's like a guy in Galaxy Quest.
Oh, yeah.
But I die in that one. Are you sure you were in the next episode? I die in every episode. Yeah, I die in every episode.
They just kind of like, things to kill, so I'm like, we kind of already had
some of this faceless minions die in droves in Book of Boba Fett when Mando comes and he's fighting the piratey guys with the shambling mound pirate king Goron or whatever his name was Gorian Shard.
The other problem we have here is
All the pirates then in the little fighters died fighting the Naboo fighter, except for Fane. But as Suki pointed out, Fane was the only guy who had a name.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but everybody had a face, so that did make me care about them a little more.
That helps. But we're also having another fight with the Sithy-ish characters. Like, they're definitely setting them up as these, like, who are the villains? So there's a lot of mystique and intrigue. So, like, I really doubt they're going to do anything with Nameless Faceless Timmy Man.
Well, here's your homework, Nathan. Maybe you already know this and you did do it. But go back to season 2 of The Mandalorian for the Jedi episode where Ahsoka's first revealed. Are any of those people in Morgan Elsbeth's daimyo back in that episode in the background character? Because I know, again, it was just focused on Morgan Elsbeth and Michael Biehn's character. But were they in the temple?
All right. Well, let's move on to the next question while I go see
some homework. So, anyways, so my question, and again, I'm gonna botch it. So, So we're introduced to Genevieve O'Reilly again as Mon Mothma, which was great. Of course, she's only in a holonet, but that's how, you know, everybody's communicating nowadays. And she's accompanied by 4 senators because, again, they've reestablished the Senate, thinking it's going to work for the 20th time at this point in Star Wars world. And rather than just everybody being their own independent. But we have a couple of people that are really vocal, including one Senator Hamato Zino, however you want to pronounce it. And he seems to be the bad guy senator because he wants to come up with an excuse for everything. And he's a bit snarky back to Hera, considering, you know, Hera and the person next to him, at least in the holonet, Mon Mothma, should be actually, you know, rebel heroes have seen a lot of stuff. And that he was even called out, which was kind of nice because, you know, he just decided to pick whatever side was winning. But do you think, Sugi, that he's an Imperial sympathizer? Or do you think, no, he's just an idiot?
No, he's a coward. He's very much established as a coward who just picks the winning side.
So, you know, Heath Ledger's Joker would pull him out as someone who would scream like a stuffed pig. So.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. that character is a scum.
I agree completely. He is... well, Mr. Sugiyama, how should we pronounce his name?
I think it's Hamato Giono.
Giono?
Okay.
Because right. I think the XI should be a G.
Yeah. I agree completely that he's an opportunist and he's going to join whatever side he thinks is the winning side. Yeah. And also, Derek, morals. I got to
care.
Yeah, Derek, I have to summon enough voice to make this joke. What a politician who is disrespecting war heroes. I can't imagine.
I mean, that's like the whole Star Wars galaxy at this point, right? So.
Right.
I really hope Hera like beats him somewhere in a future episode. Like they meet, and he's just like.
You just see in the holonet this big. Punching, you know, fist. So, and for those Star Wars fans out there, some of you may know. If not, Hamato is the father of Kazuda, who is the one of the leads in the Star Wars Resistance show that came out many moons ago. If you're like Scott and myself, we couldn't finish it. I didn't even get past episode one. I think Scott got into like four or five episodes at least, maybe, or halfway through season one. Nathan gutted it out. He watched it all, or at least he claims to.
Is it worth
pretty
it?
Knowledgeable on it.
So I did watch it all.
Sorry.
Is it worth it? Here's the thing. So a lot of people won't watch the Clone Wars or Rebels because it's a cartoon and they see cartoons as being for kids. But we, of course, know that these shows are good even if you're an adult. But some cartoons are really aimed at kids.
This means and, no. It and is not
the F stands for force, kids.
It's not quite that bad most of the time. there are definitely times when it really feels like, and the lesson we learned today is.
So they learned their lesson. They learned their lesson. So when they designed Tales of the Young Jedi or whatever it is that I watch with my 4-year-old daughter, it's like legit, like little kids designed for it, not like teenagers or adults. That would be, you know, really weird for them to relate to a kid in a kid show. So I don't know, right? Maybe I'm no psychologist out here, but maybe that's where they finally learned their lesson. Put kids in a kid show. Yeah.
I will say season two is better than season one.
There's more than one season?
Don't worry, it only stopped at season
two. There are two.
Oh, man, you're a better man than I am.
So season one goes up until The Force Awakens and kind of ends with the attack on the Hosnian system, and then season two picks up after that. So in season two, Kylo Ren is the supreme leader, actually, because The Last Jedi happens like right after The Force Awakens, which that felt a little weird, but anyways, so is it worth it? No, it is not.
But we will point this out. It did get two seasons.
And it did get two seasons.
So far, that's more than one season. More than the one season of Book of Boba Fett. So.
We've seen accidents happen before here.
If you are the type of person who wants to know everything about Star Wars, then go ahead and watch it.
You but get Google it. Will tell me, Nathan.
Yeah, that's true too. If you are any more casual than the most hardcore of fans, then just don't worry about it. There's not that much important. Google and also What a Piece of Junk can tell you that this senator guy is the dad of this guy who becomes a resistance agent.
Yes. That's
kind of all you need to know.
What a loser.
But do you think he's an Imperial sympathizer, Nathan?
I think that I cannot prove that he is, but I also cannot prove that he's not. So to me, this falls into a whatever your personal headcanon is until we get more information that proves one way or the other. Believe it. Believe whatever you want to believe.
Okay. All right. And so did your Google foo, or did you quickly rewatch that episode? Did you find anything yet?
I pulled up both episodes, compared them side by side, and the people who come out to fight Ahsoka in The Jedi are wearing the same outfits as the people in this episode. So excellent call.
So they are not just random bad guy minions. It's actually going to lead into potentially something.
That or they're random bad guy minions that they had back then too. Because we didn't get any story then either. Right? Yeah.
Or don't say with the program they won't fill my 401k.
Hey, it's just another excuse to get the 501st fans in there. That's all it is, as background characters. So. Anyways, so, well, otherwise, it sounds like a mixed feelings for episode 3. There was some good highlights. There were some things that we're unsure, especially about the lead character of after the name of the show, Ahsoka. So we'll see. Again, it was only like a 30-some minute episode, the shortest one of the three so far. So they didn't leave too much, but they did leave us off at a really good point. Because I mean, that's where it's setting up what we're all anticipating, where Ahsoka and Baylan are actually going to have a legit, you know, Jedi lightsaber duel. And maybe Sabine will get a second crack shot at a Chin. We'll see. I don't know. Please, but, you know, we'll definitely talk about it here when we get back to recording episode 4, which will, you know, be in a couple of days here for the premiere, which is a lot of fun. But until then, let's have Kevin tell us a little bit about what's going on the Fandom Podcast Network.
Thank you for listening. We hope you're enjoying this podcast. Here are the other great shows on the Fandom Podcast Network. Culture Clash, where we discuss the latest in entertainment and pop culture. Blood of Kings, our show covering the entire Highlander universe. Couch Potato Theater, we celebrate our favorite movies. And Time Warp, our fandom flashback show discussing a year in movies and our favorite retro movie, TV, and pop culture topics. Good Evening, discussing all things Alfred Hitchcock. Hair Metal Podcast, we cover the rock metal music of the 80s and early 90s. Type 40, a Doctor Who podcast, discussing the time-traveling Doctor Who universe. Lethal Mullet, an action film podcast, covering the 80s, 90s, and beyond. Also, check out the Lethal Mullet Network for more great podcasts. What a Piece of Junk, our Star Wars podcast. Making Treks, a Star Trek podcast, with a deep dive into the final frontier. The Fandom Show, our Fandom Podcast Network live YouTube show discussing the hottest topics in fandom. The True Believers MCU podcast, discussing the Marvel Cinematic and Television Universe. Union Federation, our Star Trek and the Orville show. And we're proud to welcome the BQN Network to the Fandom Podcast Network. Please visit our friends on the BQN Network, a Star Trek Universe podcast that also includes your favorite topics, movies, history, superheroes, and more. You can find the Fandom Podcast Network on YouTube. The Fandom Podcast Network is also on all major podcast platforms. Fandom Podcast Network audio master feed is on Podbean at fpnet.podbean.com. You can find the Fandom Podcast Network on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. You can email us at fandompodcastnetwork@gmail.com. Thank you so much for listening, and remember, respect others and enjoy your fandom.
All right. Thanks, Kevin, for telling all the listeners all about the great shows that they can listen to on the Fandom Podcast Network. All right, guys. So we just got done talking about episode 3 for Ahsoka. And like we normally like to do, we like to put a little bit of something else extra, some extra discussion in regards to whatever Star Wars and stuff we want to talk about. And that's what we're going to do here. And one of the things we've been recently enjoying is lists. Specifically, top 10 lists. So, our top 10 list this week, put out by Collider, was going to be Ahsoka Tano's greatest enemies ranked. Who are the most fearsome foes that Ahsoka ever faced?
Well, writers.
Yes. Well, they haven't gone meta yet, so they can't put them in yet. So,
I'm actually going to.
Wow.
To argue that they have kind of gone meta immediately. So I'm going to jump straight into number 10 here. It is Pre Vizsla. And I will note that he is voiced by Jon Favreau.
Sacre bleu. Is his brother post Vizsla?
I've always wondered about that. If there is a Pre Vizsla, that implies the existence of a post Vizsla and a concurrent Vizsla.
And a mid Vizsla. Well,
and just a Vizsla.
Yeah.
Well, you guys all remember Filoni talked about the joke about how they got the name Pre Vizsla because of Pre Vizs on the special effects of the Clone Wars. I can't do this joke.
So is it a female though? Because it's law? I don't know. Anyway, so number 10, we have Pre Vizsla. So
Jon Favreau is Ahsoka's greatest enemy. Well, 10th greatest enemy, apparently.
Well, based on the directing, it sure is, so sure.
But to be fair, I don't think Jon Favreau's got really any major ties to Ahsoka. It's all
yeah, but if you point that out, my joke doesn't work as well. So please
I
don't.
He's a producer.
He is.
I thought it was Kathleen Kennedy.
So. It's her and him. Favreau's name is in one of the producers.
Oh, he was
slots.
He's there. He's in that.
Okay. Well, so then, fine, Nathan, your joke can still stick.
My joke still makes sense. Also, I would argue that Pre Vizsla is not a great Ahsoka villain. Pre Vizsla is a great villain, but not really one that Ahsoka.
Bo-Katan would have been better.
But yes, if this was Bo-Katan's greatest villains.
I'm just saying, like, Bo-Katan was a better villain for Ahsoka. Is all I'm saying.
Yeah,
yeah. This list is terrible. Bad.
Well, you know, I will say there's a reason that Pre Vizsla is all the way down at the bottom of the list.
Yeah. So, all right. So number 9, the Inquisitor, which I feel like it falls flat again because I feel like that was Kanan's was the Inquisitor.
Mm-hmm. Well, note that this is not. This is not discussing the Grand Inquisitor from Rebels.
Yeah,
this is discussing the Inquisitor that Ahsoka fights during one of her episodes of Tales of the Jedi.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yes.
Okay.
Won't lie. I feel like this should have been a top 5. The last, like, bottom 5 feel like a reach, honestly.
Well, yeah, and the Seventh Sister would have been better for that because at least they had some beef in Rebels. You know what I'm saying? Like, they knew each other. Which we never got the explanation of that, and that I'm disappointed on.
Sorry, concurrent.com. This list is no good.
Well, we can all bash Liam Gahan. I don't know how he pronounces his name. He doesn't sound very Star Warsy. That's all I can say.
That's fair.
Yeah.
All right.
Number 8.
Let's move on to 8. Yeah.
Can we just
General
skip
Grievous?
This one? Yeah. Come on. This is
That's
an
Obi-Wan.
Yeah. Okay. This is. Can we just get to top 5 because those are actually legit. Everything else is like this.
Yeah,
is
I'll just say them so that way the listeners can know. 7 is Cad Bane.
No.
6 though. Six is legit though. 6 is Asajj Ventress. That's
she
legit.
Should be 4.
Well, she should be number 1 in my opinion. But
I don't know. She fought Anakin and Obi-Wan more than Ahsoka, I would say.
Yeah.
I want to jump back real quick to General Grievous. I will say they had a pretty good lightsaber duel, and Ahsoka did the classic Star Wars move of chopping off one of Grievous's hands. I mean, that's kind of cool.
I think
and
he
Grievous
does
is
that
a really
to make
strong...
them feel good about themselves.
He's like, I got extra hands. I don't really need to care about
he does,
this.
He does have extra hands at home.
I'll make them feel good, and then I'll kill them.
That's usually what his ploy was. He would, you know, sacrifice one or two so because you couldn't block all 4.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
All right. So so we got a little bit of dice of Asajj Ventress. Like I said, I think she's definitely a top one for Ahsoka. But again, that's also because, you know, I don't know. I just felt like there was a little bit more of a bond with that.
Well, there is a bit more of a bond between Asajj and Ahsoka, but part of that bond comes from after Ahsoka was framed for bombing the Jedi Temple, at which point they were not enemies.
Fair enough.
So they
All
actually
right.
worked together.
Number 5, the one, the only Barriss Offee, who is related to Coffee. So...
Please put me in the airlock immediately.
Anyway, I would put this one higher, actually.
Nani?
Barriss Offee, to me, is one of Ahsoka's biggest enemies. This is the first one that I look at and say, this is not anybody else's big villain other than Ahsoka's.
But just like 3 episodes, because otherwise they're friends the whole time.
And that's what makes it so tragic. They were such good friends. And then she betrayed. And she didn't even need to. She could have framed anybody, but she decided to frame the person who had been her best friend.
I think if she would have turned out to be like Professor Moriarty, where she was like behind the scenes the entire time of like all season 4, that would have been great. Like she was just like, they would have done more with her, right? Rather than like, oh yeah, I mean... If anything, it really helped Ahsoka see how bad the Jedi were. So really, Barriss Offee did Ahsoka a favor. So maybe as her, you know, even though she'd already kind of gone down the dark path, she's like, I really like Ahsoka, and I know that all the Jedi are going to die from Order 66, so I'm going to save my one friend by blaming her and making her forced to leave the Jedi.
Yeah, but that didn't save her. The clones still tried to kill her.
Well, she wasn't expecting her to return.
Well, regardless, I would put this one higher, and it's the first one on the list that I feel is actually an Ahsoka villain.
Sugi's just scratching his chin and head. He's got nothing rebuttal,
this,
I guess.
This list, it invokes words that are of the adult and crass nature.
Okay. Well, here, while we go, Nathan and I go through this, Sugi, you're going to compile your top five list. It could take the same people, but you can reorder them any way you want. That's your 2 minute homework while
to
Nathan
the
I
Google.
So, all right. Number four, Aura Sing.
Aura, who?
I know. This is a reach.
What the blank?
Aura Sing had a lot of promise. Seemed like she was going to be really, really interesting. Back when Decipher still had the card game, and Aura Sing was a dark side card with ability 4, and it seemed like there was going to be this big storyline around her because she could use the Force and she could use lightsabers. She could steal lightsabers from people. But then that storyline kind of went to Grievous instead. And then Aura became a lot less interesting. In the Clone Wars, she became kind of a bounty hunter, which wasn't bad, but also, I mean, there were other bounty hunters. Cad Bane was a more interesting bounty hunter, quite frankly. And I don't know that Ahsoka had any particular interactions with Aura that make her stand out as an Ahsoka villain.
Yeah,
these entries kind of feel like villains that stood in the same room as Ahsoka. You know what I mean?
Yeah. That's a way more accurate. Yep.
Like they happen to share at some point screen time.
Oh no, it's even worse. Yeah. One of these doesn't yet.
Yet, right?
Which is horseradish.
Which
I'm going back to Google.
Is great on this too, because they put in Lars Mikkelsen for Grand Admiral Thrawn. Live action photo, which is like, okay.
We'll get to that one. But I do want to point out in this list, it talks about Ahsoka got another chance to take down Sing in season 3's Assassin when the bounty hunter attempted to murder Padme. Well, Ahsoka didn't kill Aura Sing. That we find out that Aura Sing died in Solo.
Yeah.
Like she died off screen.
All your prognostication there, or sorry, recollection there, Nathan, about how Aura Sing at one point back in the 1990s seemed like she was going to be the bee's knees of Darksiders.
The female Boba Fett.
And then it kind of evaporated into nothingness. When Lando told...
Tobias Beckett.
Thank you. When Lando told Beckett, you did the galaxy a favor killing off Aura Sing that day, I was like, yeah, you sure did, because now we finally have closure for that promo character that went nowhere and did nothing. At least now we know we don't have to hunt down and destroy whatever storyline she ever actually did, because...
And even Tobias is like, yeah, I'm pretty sure the Fall killed her, not me.
Yeah, yeah.
Like she wasn't even important enough to bother directly killing. Just whoop! Oh, look, she fell off this building. Well, too bad.
All right, so 3 Grand Admiral Thrawn. Nathan, any thoughts on that one?
They never even met. I hope this is true by the end of this season of Ahsoka.
Yeah, I'm still confused, like, it's why even Ahsoka's, like, trying to hunt down Thrawn. Like, because Ahsoka at the end of season 2 is gone. Then Thrawn comes in, so there's no interaction whatsoever. She finally comes back at the end of season 4 of Rebels, but then she, because that's just meeting Ezra, you know, again through the World Between Worlds. And then she's, you know, gone again, how she escapes. But then Thrawn's gone. So, like...
See, that makes me think Ahsoka's really in it to find Ezra, not to chase down Thrawn.
I mean, at least it would be great. Case, Because maybe, maybe that's it. Maybe she just took Sabine because Sabine was the only one she could, but she really wants to train Ezra.
Yes, I think so.
Yeah. Yeah. I
agree. That would be really cool because then it would really piss off Sabine.
It would.
So
I can imagine they find Ezra and Ahsoka's like, okay, Sabine, you need to give back Ezra's lightsaber. Huang said it was mine.
All right. So number two. Okay. Finally got the one that I think should be number one, Darth Maul.
Yeah. The jewel that they have at the end of Clone Wars season 7. Yeah, that should be number one.
But yeah, to be fair, I feel like Darth Maul and Obi-Wan are really the ones, but it's...
yeah, Darth Maul could also... Well, Obi-Wan is definitely Darth Maul's number one.
Yes.
But Darth Maul is Ahsoka's number one.
Yeah. Because Obi-Wan's number one is the guy who somehow is number one on this list.
Which was Darth Vader, a.k.a. Anakin Sky Guy. So, yeah, this list is just like, whoever shared, in theory, a story plot line with Ahsoka, but may not even actually been in the room together at any point, and maybe not actually had any real interaction. But let's just rank them on the most diabolical. That's it.
Yeah, I think it is supposed to be the most fearsome people that Ahsoka ever happened to fight. Regardless of whether they are actually...
She didn't fight Thrawn. At least not yet.
Yeah.
And really, if they really wanted to promote Ahsoka, they should have put Thrawn as number one. Come on. Should have been promoting it. Come on. I know they probably took their paycheck from Disney to put this list together.
Yeah. Here's what I can say about this list. They correctly numbered from 10 to 1.
And they spelt the names right.
That's all
right. Sugi, were you able to compile a top 5 list of what you think Ahsoka's greatest villains were? Or are you just worth my time?
Yeah. Okay. Barriss. Barriss is a villain. Very, very good villain. Next up is Hondo Ohnaka.
Okay.
He should absolutely be on that list. He's not pro, he's not con, but he really gets in her way quite a bit.
Mm-hmm.
I agree with Darth Maul. I agree with Darth Vader. Those are pretty staples. I think the fifth one should be Ahsoka herself. She causes a lot of her own problems. She has a lot of self-doubt. She really has to get past herself until after the betrayal. But early on, I think she's her own worst enemy because she's just really insecure. And she's also in the shadow of Obi-Wan and Anakin. That's rough. If I had to pick a fifth that doesn't, like, if you were like, hey, Ahsoka doesn't count, I would say Obi-Wan is actually quite a detriment to Ahsoka in a lot of places. I'm fairly convinced Obi-Wan does not like Ahsoka. Or he's mad at Anakin. I can't tell. But he gives her the ring around a lot. Like, a lot. That doesn't quantify villainy, but, like, he's a thorn in her side.
To be fair, though, he's always having to cover up or clean up their mess between Anakin and Ahsoka. He always has to clean it up. Now, granted, we all agree that's what we would do if we had, you know, mystical force powers and we didn't have to go with the Jedi, right? Which, right, you know, so to your point earlier in the comment of the episode or a podcast, right, where the Jedi deserved what they got. So, but anyways, so I agree with your list a lot better. That was a little bit better.
Yeah.
So
the problem is Ahsoka doesn't have many.
She really actually doesn't even have a main villain. I mean, to be fair.
Well, and that's why I would put Barriss Offee so high. It's not because Barriss Offee has a really long arc or anything. It's just that she's one of the few characters that I'm like, yes, the one character that she was after was Ahsoka.
Mm-hmm.
So do you think that's Merrick?
I want it to be, but I don't think it is.
That would be really cool if it would be.
I've seen all this talk online about, oh, under the mask, Merrick is actually fill in blank here. I never once got the feeling from watching him so far that he's supposed to be somebody we already know. He just happens to be wearing a mask, and there's going to be a big reveal.
But he's an Inquisitor.
He's an Inquisitor, but so was the froggy dude that was at the Sith Temple in Rebels, and so was the Seventh Sister, and, you know, she wasn't anybody that we knew before that.
No, but I just meant, like, they were, like, a important character is all I'm saying. Like, you know, they...
Oh, yeah, okay, I mean,
be an important character without taking his mask off.
Yeah, he could never take the helmet off.
Oh, I'm sure that's exactly what Filoni's doing. He just wants to rattle the internet, so...
Yeah.
But, yeah.
I think all of these content creators out there are just jumping at whatever thing to make a big...
Well, they have to make a statement, you know, so that if it does come true, then they can claim it. That's it.
Right.
Yeah. Well,
right,
exactly. I mean, if it does turn out to be Bear Safi, I'm absolutely going to say, oh, man, remember back when I said it could be Bear Safi? But
proven point.
Just like that, too. But
I don't. Clout chaser.
But I don't think it is. And I've seen people say that it's Ezra. I don't think that's the case either.
That can't make any sense.
Yeah.
It wouldn't make any sense.
Super weird.
Have you met Star Wars fans?
Touché. It would make more sense.
Unless if it's Ezra. We said we could be Ezra.
Yes. Yeah, it would make more sense if it was Ezra's clone.
All right. I'm out.
I'm done. Oh, come on. But it's heir to the Empire. I mean, you can't have Luke, but you can have Ezra at this point. So...
Oh my God, you guys, what if we really do get Luke in Ahsoka and there really is all that talk about, well, we had the hand and we cloned him from it. I mean, what if they just like, they're like, no, of course we're going to do that. And they have cloned Luke in Ahsoka. And
there's Mark Hamill again.
So, yes, yeah. Yes, the helmet comes off and they've taken Mark Hamill's face and done the de-aging thing and superimposed
him. I'm not so
they interview Filoni. Like after the show is done, they interview Filoni and he's all like, I saw that internet talk about how well they can't have a clone of Luke like they did in Heir to the Empire. And I thought to myself, wait a minute, why can't we have a clone of Luke like they did in Heir to the Empire? That'd be freaking great.
So we told everybody that this was Blue Coon. Again, it worked twice. I don't know why they believe me this time.
Or maybe this will actually turn out to be Blue Coon. So.
It's Plo Koon.
The long lost brother of Plo Koon.
Oh, man. Okay.
Or it could be Clo Ploon.
Yeah, no. My official prediction at this point is we're going to get to the end of Ahsoka. The mask will never have come off. And you will have a bunch of content creators complaining about the fact that this should have been a character that we already knew.
I have a better prediction. Content creators will complain.
That is certainly a more guaranteed prediction, because my secondary prediction is that it will be somebody that we already know, and the same content creators who are preparing episodes about how it should have been somebody we already knew will instead prepare episodes about how it by no means should have been somebody we knew.
Making it somebody we already knew was incredibly lazy, right?
Oh man, what are we, NPR now?
This episode of What a Piece of Junk is brought to you by the Foundation for Foundations, educating Americans on the importance of foundations.
Also sponsored by Frog Voice. When yelling at people at playing card game of conventions, you too can sound like scratched leather on sandpaper.
All right, I think we better get on to Derek's favorite part of the show.
Let's get on to our favorite part of the show. So,
use the bathroom? No,
not quite. You can do that after, because so the listeners know we could have prepped it a little bit earlier, but we did it. There's going to be another recording where Nathan and somehow Scott's still going to do it with Sugi guest starring to talk a little bit more Star Wars Unlimited.
So Sugi, you and I get to talk Star Wars Unlimited while Scott watches.
Oh boy!
I was
talking about bad art, and ugly art.
Yeah, there we go.
So. All I'll do is give a thumbs up and a thumbs down on the cards.
No, you're going to pull up the pictures of the cards too.
Yes.
And you're also going to give us the grit of usage as toilet paper.
There you go. Ouch. That's on the scale of 1 to 10, toilet paper or grate it, right? So or play it.
It starts so. From comfortable to oh.
All right. So Nathan, what Star Wars shirt do you have on today?
All right. Well, I didn't get a chance to do laundry because I was at the convention yesterday. So
standing in line for hours.
Standing in line for hours. So I'm wearing my 4-Up Grogu t-shirt that I have not worn in a while. So it was in my clean pile, which I'm sure y'all appreciate the fact that I'm wearing a clean shirt, even though you're not in the same room as me.
I can still smell it from over here.
Yeah, oh, gosh, that's bad. Considering it's a clean shirt.
That's terrible. And just like that list of top 10 villains. It smells right about there.
And it's bad.
That's the top 10 villain of any
one time zone away.
Yeah, I know. I could smell it from the past.
What a wonderful smell you've discovered.
All right. The smell Sugi, do you have a Star Wars shirt on?
I don't.
Okay.
Okay.
They all didn't right, tell me.
Sorry, I didn't tell him. It's Sugi still has an answer, though. It's what Star Wars t-shirt do you have on? None.
It's the God dang it, Quarix.
Whoa, that's
no,
kind of
technically,
cool.
It's a Games Done Quick shirt. It's it's a video game convention, essentially. Basically, for a week, they play video games, and then they donate all the proceeds to charity. Usually, they make a couple million. Super cool. They play Star Wars games.
I was going to say, I am sure Super Star Wars has been played at GDQ.
It has, and it's fun watching them beat it in under 10 minutes.
Yeah, which is insane because the Super Star Wars games were super difficult.
Yeah, there's a lot of iframes and glitches where you can like jump through stuff you're not supposed to. You basically take damage, and while you're like invisible, you also can like pass through walls and things. So there's cool ways to cheat that game. But it's not a Star Wars shirt. I could take off my shirt, but I don't think that counts.
No, okay.
Do you have any? Do you have any other Star Wars apparel, like merchandise stuff that you could pull up and use that as a merchandise?
I've got some Disney Larkana cards. You can't have.
How much did you pay for that? Too much. My local game store is out of Larkana cards, by the way.
I paid MSRP. I know people.
Oh, lucky you.
So. Star Wars things, not in the vicinity of reaching or squirching.
You've got a Death Star behind you. Let's go with that.
Yeah, there we go.
All right, Scott.
As part of Labor Day weekend, Nathan and I are taking the girls to go see Monday Night Raw in Charlotte on Monday, and so I am, of course, wearing WrestleMania from Attack of the Clones, Sam Wessel. So it's WrestleMania, baby. One of the best t-shirts I've ever seen. That was a mashup between my two favorite things, Star Wars and wrestling. And I have the original WrestleMania 6 shirt upon which this shirt is based, with the same hologram grid and highlight color pattern from the 1980s.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, it's pretty freaking great.
So, all right. I'm wearing my Sabine hoodie as usual, just because, you know, it's going to be thematic throughout this season of Ahsoka. But I did have something else. So my wife likes to do all sorts of crafts, you know, whether it's crocheting wampas or it's painting pictures and stuff. And what she did was she painted me this picture.
Oh, that is awesome.
Oh, that's cool.
Wow.
That's a very nice Ahsoka.
That's really cool.
Yeah.
And she actually painted it on the glass. So that way it's color coded that way. So you could actually change the background if you wanted to do something different.
Oh, that's awesome.
Have like the wrestling meme where like Anakin's behind her. Like.
Yeah.
So I have that on my desk here. So it's now made its way down. So anyways, all right. Well, that's our favorite part of the show. We could just close the doors and call it a night, guys, if you want to, or we could talk about a few other things of where you can find us. Nathan, do you want to tell the listeners where they can find us real quick?
Absolutely. You can find us pretty much anywhere you can find podcasts. That includes Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Podbean, Spotify, iHeartRadio, Google Play, YouTube. You can also find us on Facebook, What a Piece of Junk, a Star Wars podcast. You can email us at whatapieceofjunkpod@gmail.com. On X, Twitter, whatever we're calling it these days.
Twix.
Yeah, on Twix, we have at What Wars. And on Instagram, we have Fandom Podcast Network. On the Apple Podcasts, and really anywhere that lets you give a star rating, we would love to get a rating from you. That lets us know how we're doing, what we can do better. To that note, that is Roman numerals for five.
Ooh,
five
star
stars.
No, that would be this.
Five stars. That's Vulcan stars. Derek, why do we want those five star ratings?
Because for those that want to share the wonderful experience that they get to do by listening to our podcast and talk about all the great Star Wars stuff out there, it really helps put us at the top of those search engines when people go in and say, hey, I want to hear a Star Wars podcast. And they type that in or they ask Alexa or all that. And what would be great is that, oh, here is What a Piece of Junk that Alexa would tell them. So that would be great. So by helping those five-star reviews, you know, again, if we're making your ears bleed and you don't want to leave us a five-star review, you don't have to give us a one, just don't give us any review. But if you want to go ahead and fudge us and give us a five, that will help, because that also helps pay for the coaxium to keep the Drunken Gungan going. So, but here's a question for Sugi. Sugi, when you like something, do you give us a five-star review for that? Or do you not give five-star reviews?
On that question.
Okay. He just hits the big red X when they ask him, how was your experience? He's like, I don't want to listen.
I don't listen to podcasts.
You do realize that the five-star reviews help pay for the bread and water that we're using to keep you alive. We're not.
Put him in the airlock. Let's get him.
All right. I want to all be right. here still.
Let's go. Nathan, punch it.